Mr. Coley, Reel 2. You've arrived in Bransworth Camp. Can you describe your billet to me?
It was a long wood hut with a door in the centre, in front. No fire exit, as I remember. As you entered through that door, there was a sort of a vestibule part. You went through a second door. You could turn either left or right. There were beds down the far wall. There were two beds at one end. At the other end was a corporal's or a sergeant's room, and then put the sides up to the door of the bed. We each had a chest under the bed, a large chest to keep things in. And,
did that lock, by the way?
Yes, it locked.
And you had a key for it,
yes,
did you?
And a set of two drawers next to the bed, and a place to fasten the light. Got two blankets and a sheet. One pillow and a mattress was already on the bed. And we had four of those sheets in a certain way. So the blankets were in the middle of the folded and the sheet wrapped around them with a very fresh crease in it.
This is the squaring of the blanket.
At the top of the bed. And you were allowed to leave one blanket on the bed. And the pillow went on the top of the square.
And that would have to be done every morning?
Every morning, that had to be put. The test was the size of the problem. Walk along with the sheet, the blanket on the bed had to be really tight. And he threw an old fashioned penny on it. And his penny bulbs were all right. If he did, that would be really good for them. He just used to rip it up.
He would just pull the whole lot down?
Yes, I would pull the whole lot out and do it again. Then he would try the penny again. If the penny bulbs were all right.
I think you said there were 18 in the room.
Yes. Yeah, in the right opposite the doors, there was a fire pond with three buckets with sand, two buckets with water, and a stir pump.
And near the furniture in the room, other than the beds?
Stools and wooden chairs.
And how was it heated?
Oh, a pot-bellied stool. It was right in the centre of the pot-bellied stool, just to the left of the doors as you went in. Not directly in front, just to the left of the doors. The big pot-bellied stool, which we all have to get around. One of the things that we examined every day was the back of the drawers. The drawers were pulled out because one of the tricks was if you ran out of fuel for the fire, you should pull the drawer and knock the back out. Good, really. So those drawers were examined every morning to see if nobody had knocked the backs out of them. But we had plenty of fuel and we were right next to the coal building.
And that would be carried in buckets, was it?
Yeah,
or a bucket?
It was a scuttle.
And was it coal or coke?
Coal. Coal. It was coal.
And this was a cold time of the year that you went?
Yes, it was February. And in the 6th, it was really... I remember snow. There wasn't very much, but there was a dusty of snow.
Was it an efficient heating? Did it warm the building?
Oh, yes, it warmed. It was. With everybody walking in and out all the time, the doors were never closed at that long, apart from at night when we had no one to go, so you weren't allowed out of the camp. The first 6 weeks, you weren't even allowed out.
Did you just to stay with the heating for the moment? Was it only allowed on at certain times? You know that you could light it.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because we were never in. We were blown out at 6 o'clock, and about 6 o'clock. It had to be ready for first parade by 7. Breakfast was half 7. And back into the hood to clear up, and then back down to the room. Usually on one square, or fatigues, whichever one put up.
And presumably it would have to be cleaned daily, this stove.
Two of us detailed each day. We have 3 days on. 3 days on.
It was like billet orderly, was it, that job?
Yes, it was three of us. Two of us, rather.
So the whole unit didn't have to clean that stove out before you actually went out. It was done on this rotor.
So
and how did you clean the stove?
We had a barrel outside, I remember. And one of these old wooden barrels, and we had just had the carry out with the empty scuffing. And then it was black-headed. Which I don't suppose a lot of people remember black-headed. It was a thing in a tin and they brushed the whole spirit and brushed after shine.
And was inspected, no doubt.
Well, that was inspected every day, yes. And if you weren't, you didn't do it right, you got extra ones that went in.
How did you keep the room clean?
No, that's a secret, but we had to polish the floor. And one of the ways of polishing the floor was, one orderly sat on somebody's mattress, and the other one dragged it around the floor. You had to put the polish on. Move the beds off one side. And you take a mattress off one of the beds, and one of them used to sit on the mattress, so the other one pulled it down, and that saved a lot of elbow grease. The mattress.
Were you supposed to use the bumper? Did you have the bumper in there, the heavy bumper?
We were supposed to use, but that was too much work. So that was the secret of the polishing the floor with the mattress.
So it was a good job no one looked underneath the mattress to see what stage was it.
So if we walk into the one or two of the mattress, we would be found. Yeah.
And presumably window cleaning,
yeah,
and so
clean
on.
The windows, clean the carpet book out. And
was this again the task for the barrack room orderlies?
Yeah,
they did those.
Well,
you mentioned the fire picket in the corner.
Yeah.
Were they polished and kept clean?
Yeah, they were washed. Or dusted every day. They were red buckets. They weren't a great hazard. And the sand had to be cleaned at the top. I mean, some of the lads used to stood the cigarette ends out of it. You have to clean all those out. Make sure the sand was perfectly level. The water was evaporated, of course, all the time.
Were the inspections daily?
Daily, yes.
And who would carry those out? And was there an officer's inspection at some point?
Yes, there was an officer's inspection once a week. For the life of me, I can't remember the officer that was in charge of it at the time. There was a major in charge of the camp. But those first 6 weeks were so hectic, we didn't get a chance to get to know anybody. Really, the officers were somebody far away. But I always remember the court was in silence.
And presumably you stood by your beds for the inspection, did you?
Yes, always we stood by your beds.
And you've said that if
it wasn't
clean or whatever. If, was the whole billet ever punished because of something of that nature?
Yes. Not to the cleanliness, I don't think, but for Mr. Davis himself.
And they could take it out on all of you rather than the one person or two people, whatever it was.
And then, of course, the one that was using it was the
You would deal with him,
yes,
presumably. Yeah.
Not physically, but he was in the town office group.
Kit inspections, how often were they?
That was once a month. In the 6 weeks, we had three.
What did that entail?
You had to lie everything out on the bed in an orderly fashion, in a fashion, an army fashion. They were told which way your housewife went, where your socks went, everything had to be laid out in there. And each bed had to be exactly the same. And then it's all counted, looked at, cooked at, the kind of the same. Your housewife was had to be open to see if you hadn't lost any leaves or cotton or whatever.
And your spare pair of boots would be on that?
Yeah, they'd be on the end of the bed.
Did you have to polish the soles, as some people always claimed they had to?
No, we never polished the soles, but they had to be moved.
And what is the process of doubling and brightening up, or at least you've got a brand new pair of boots. Tell me how you got them to the high shine.
The army boots we used to get used to be wrinkled, as I remember. And that wrinkle had to come off the toes. The toe caps had to be smooth. And the only way to do that was with a end of a teaspoon. And you used to heat the end of your teaspoon and go around your boot toe until all those wrinkles disappear. And then you have your tin of black boot polish. And just you have to finger on your head, you just over your thought finger, give it in the polish, spit on the boot, and keep rubbing around with a small surface until that, and then you polish it up, and you can see it actually shaved that boot when you finished. To get the wrinkles out, you have to use a spoon or the other end of the spoon. not the small end.
Did they fit well, the boots?
I never any bother with
them. So you'd wear boots at work, no doubt.
Oh, yes. Well,
you know, so you were used to wearing boots.
One of the things I got, actually, was they take a size 10. Funny enough, army boots don't give you off to a size 10. And I've got an office boots. Which they were practically school when I got them. Because I took a large size. So I was forced with that.
What equipment did they issue with? I'm thinking in terms of the stuff you carried.
Oh, the big pack, the small pack, ammunition pouches, belts, straps, and then a full service marching order, they called it.
And they would have to be cleaned in some way.
They were given
blankoed.
Blankoed.
What colour?
Green. It was
how did you put that on?
Water and brush or distilled or whatever you put to get it on. Toothbrush round the buckets, because that'd be brass. And that was one of the things you used to get a brass button. It was on the television, you remember that?
Button stick.
Button stick, yeah. You have to learn to identify it on one of these programs, antique programs. And you study very, very well.
Yeah. And again, again, there'd be a very high standard of polish and cleaning.
Oh, yes. You had two strips on the belt, brass strips. And as you were raising them, the belt was brass strips from pull aside to see that you haven't got it by the side, you've done it beneath them as well. Yeah.
And these would be inspected, no doubt?
Oh, yes, you had to put them on. The guard unit especially had the ammunition pouches on the belt. And the straps, not the packs, and all that was inspected.
To do your trousers, was there a barrack room iron that was shared by everyone?
Yes, we had to iron our trousers, but we had to iron them on the floor. There was no ironing board.
And no table?
No table. No, we weren't allowed to go through the table. That would have been, I think they didn't like spare the cards.
Were there any tricks to keeping a knife edged?
We used to get a piece of soap that had been used to move to it, it was very thin. Turn the trousers inside out, there was a crease, we used to run the soap down the inside of the crease. Turn them down and then press them, and the soap used to stick the crease.
Some people lay on their trousers on the bed, yes, under the bed. Did you do that?
A piece of board. Put it underneath the mattress, put your trousers on the mattress, and then lie on the mattress, and that helps. And then with the, you have to put the gaiters on your trousers in, and you have lead weights to pull them down to make them look like that, in a straight line.
And keep them straight all over the gaiter.
Yeah. And those weights were precious.
And no doubt they weren't issued. You'd have to find those yourself.
Yeah, find those. You had to pinch the lead or whatever you could to make them, and they're low to put them on and handle them around to make sure some of them were too heavy, and you had to discard them. And you had to stamp all your own nestings.
All your equipment, clothes was numbered, was it?
Oh, yes, you had to number all
with your own number.
Pencil. And your nestings, you were issued with stamps, numbered stamps, and you had to put your number on. They were issued with a small panel with stamps on each one of the results.
And the mess teams were the ones with
the folding handle.
In the folding handle, yes. Cup or mug, was that issued?
Yes. One of the white ones, one of the white enamel pot.
And knife, fork, spoon, presumably.
Knife, fork, spoon, in a
tip. You had quite a lot of stuff to look after, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I trust your rifle.
Yeah, we haven't come to rifles yet, did if you said that if you lost something, you had to buy a new one. You had to pay. Yes, you had to pay for the loss and buy a new one. Was that it?
Off, you bought a new pair of socks. They were not deep. I mean, the pair of socks was a shilling. But the shilling was 15.6, which was a lot.
Was there much stealing within the bullet? You didn't have that problem.
I think everybody was so careful and so precious with the gear because we didn't have a lot of money to replace it. No, we never had any problems.
And you said you got 15 sixpence a week?
Yes.
Did you, were you made to make an allowance home, or was that all money kept yourself?
My wife got I was, that's one of the things I forgot to, the 6 weeks after I went in, I was married. No, she got, I think it was 38 shillings in the manager office. The manager office was 15 or 16. Yes, actually, one shilling for both.
Barragrum damages, was that taken off?
Yes, if there wasn't.
Well, they didn't take something every week, it just, if there wasn't.
If there was, like the packs of the drugs that I just mentioned, that was taken off if you had anything broken, like the window or something like that. Was but we did that over the years.
When were you issued with the rifle?
Straight away, actually. We had to go up to Gontigland and
Whitburn. Before we come to those, you've got your rifle. Was it cleaned in a state already? It wasn't to be.
It was green, actually. You had to get rid of all the grease.
Now, how did you do that?
The grease, also just to get on and a little bit of tapping, and then get on off. And then you've got your 42, the full throw, and you have your full throw to keep. And the mates just have to.
And the oil bottle was there in the this is the 303 rifle.
Yes, the 303, the M3 rifle. Yeah, the oil bottle and pull through. Or your wire pulling the wrap down the pull through between our frame and your 42. And they were very, very stingy with the 42.
That was the piece of cloth, wasn't it?
Piece of cloth with a red stripe on. They were very stingy with that stuff. You do find a piece of that was like gorgeous.
And I think the system was to put oil on the piece of cloth and pull it through.
Yes, pull it through and put a dry piece through.
And your rifle will be inspected then for regularly.
Yes, stand with your rifle at the port, and you put your thumb nail or your thumb into the breech, open the bolt, put your thumb into the breech. Whoever was inspecting the rifle looked down the barrel, and your thumb nail acted as a reflection of the barrel. And if it wasn't perfectly clean then.
Issued with a bayonet?
Yes, fixed it.
Was that the long one or the short one?
6 inch, we call it 6 inch shield. This was like a 6 inch shield, what we call a fixed sticker. That was that had to be cleaned. And the method of cleaning that, I remember, was to have your duster, stick a garden bayonet through the duster, and you rub it up and down the bayonet.
Coming from home into the army, how did you cope with the language that you were suddenly facing?
You mean the bad language?
Yes, the bad language that was suddenly hurled at you.
Worked in a boom chair, I had more money. I've heard that before. But I know there were some lads, and there was one from Sacris that was a. I wasn't so much at church like that. I went to church before I went in, and I was in the choir. But this time was one of these Pentecostal boys, and he couldn't speak. He went really to pieces. He couldn't find any, he knocked him off at this. I always know that man. He finished up as the chaplain's father. But he was from Sacris.
What were the other lads in your particular squad like?
Well, there was a big picture. I remember one called Bocci from Sunderland. He was a stevedore. He was big, rough, ready, but a very good boy. We had one called Williams, who was a bit of a wimp. We had one in the billet. And I don't know what it was, but he could never manage. He both arms went together. And he was discharged after about 5 weeks, unfit. It was a mixture. I mean, we had one that used to eat chocolates incessantly. And I made two great friends there. One lives in Newcastle now, kept in touch with him. The other one lives in Leeds, and kept in touch with him.
What were their names?
Teddy Field and Joe Logan. If you go up to the DLI Museum, on the wall of the Korean, section of it. Joe is one of the big pictures on the wall.
Were there any bullies amongst them?
No, not that I can remember. There's no doubt with bullies. I mean, it's one of the things today that I can't get my head around this bully system, because even at school we'd have this bully. Bullies were ostracized. Even at school and in the army, they used to be sticky. I read these with things today in the papers about bullies in the army.
But they didn't bully you. And no extreme punishments which would border on the physical only.
No, not really. Not that I can remember.
No initiation ceremonies, of course.
No. Were those pranks? I mean, there was one man, Paul Williams, and I was told we had an inspection one day, and I don't know why he went to sleep on his bed, or in his bed actually, and we were playing a trick on him. We didn't know the inspection was coming, and we pulled over his bed, about 6 or 4 of us pulled over his bed, we pulled him, you know, taking his bed outside, if we could get it, because we couldn't sleep in it. And he woke up just as we got underneath one of the beams in the hut, and he grabbed the beam, and he had nothing on at all. And just as he got under the beam and slid out of the bed, the inspecting officer walked through the door and hanging under the beam stark naked. But the other way, I mean, you kind of, I've never seen any bully in the room. I mean, there's been instances where one of us has just had to say, hey, steady down.
When you did have time, and we'll come to the whole business that you, or what you were doing, when you did have time, particularly at night, how did you entertain yourselves? Were the card schools going?
Oh, there was card schools going, we used to pay for cigarettes. We had the money to pay for, we used to pay for cigarettes, or matches, or whatever it was. There was the naffy, the brown stuff, which you could get a pint of beer if you wanted, cup of tea, or whatever you fancy. The food on
We'll come to the food aspect of it. It's just that little bit of time, whatever time you had at night when you were able to relax.
Well, during the initial training, you were too tired, but you can sit on a red light, read, or listen. You're not a bit.
Well, what time did your day start? I think you have mentioned this. And that would be bugle call. And the very first thing you did?
Out of bed, across the trains, washed, shaved, whatever that was, across the road, back, bed, things like that.
I meant to ask you, and I should have asked you, about the latrines. Where were they in relation to your...
The hook, there was a block with the latrines, with the bottom half were the 6 toilets, the top half were the 6 basins.
These were metal basins, were they?
The proper.
And was that enough for you to get washed and ready in time before, you know?
Well, as I remember, yes. Shaving you could do in the hut if you wish. The wash was in there. And I think with 18 men, with a 6 person, I think it was adequate.
It was a squad latrine, or was it?
Yes, it was a squad latrine.
Hot water?
Yes. Warm water. I wouldn't say hot, but warm. The toilets were adequate. I think 6 basins was pushing a bit, but it was managed.
Suppose the first ones up were the first ones in?
Yes, yeah. This Williams I told you about, he was a terrible man, he was careful for 47. So they always knew that was one of it.
Well, you returned then to the hut and what? And obviously got dressed.
Got dressed.
Then what happened?
Then your bed. Your bed must be ready. Then you could go for your breakfast.
At this point, did the corporal or come round and have a look at your bed? Was it at this point? This came late. So it was clothes on, make your beds, and then breakfast. What time would breakfast be? And did you march to it? Or?
No, you just went down individually into the cocoa. Very good breakfast.
Was it the cafeteria system?
Yes, I just went down and just get served. The only thing you didn't get served with was bread, with a big box at the end, and you just took what bread you wanted out of the box. sort of crust without it, will you? You sort of start with the crust.
What food might you get for breakfast?
Tomato, beans, sausage, eggs, bacon. Whatever you wish to do, you know, it's really good, good food.
And quite substantial.
Oh, yes, I am.
And then, as you say, you went and sat at the table.
Yes, and sat at the table, had your breakfast.
Was that any table, or was it a table allotted to you?
No, any table in the mess hall. And you came back, washed your plates, and put them on the stack.
And how did you wash your plates and utensils?
A big wash basin at the end. And then there was a rinsing basin next to it. Then you just stacked them up. Then I think they were washed again after that, but you cleaned them.
And these would be cooks who were trained cooks in the camp. After breakfast, what happened then? And it was there that you got the inspection, was it?
You got your inspection there, your name, your billet, everything. The outside area, the very cigarette ends, right round the hood. The latrines were inspected. And the billet office had to go up to the latrines with the sergeant to inspect them, because they were responsible for them as well.
And the billet orderlies, would they stay in the hood all day whilst the rest of you were out?
No, they reported they had to, I think it was an hour and a half, they used to do their duties. Then they would have to double down to the square or wherever we were to join the train.
They would know where you were?
Yes, they would be told where they'd report to.
So, your breakfast, you've gone through your hood inspection. Could you take me through a typical training day in that 6 weeks? What would be the first thing you would do?
Drill on the square. Bad weather, drill in the garages. The empty garages.
Do you recall the first drill that you did?
Yes. It was a drill where you were taught how to report for your pay. And you were lined up in threes. Your name was called. You had to march forward. Salute. Put your hand out, take the money, transfer it to your left hand, salute, about to turn, and march back to where you were. And that was the first thing you were taught. That was drilling the village, actually.
And was foot drill your initial training? Yes, foot drill.
All the time. It was, you know, marching forward in line, in threes, about turns on the march. Everything that went with the drill.
Strange at first?
Yes, very strange, because some of them go left and right and right and left. You're very awkward. As I said, we had a lad that couldn't swing his arms, and so he used to swing them like that, you see.
Together? They were both together?
They were both together. And I don't know whether it was a work or not, because I saw him ice skating in Durham Ice Rink 2 or 3 years after, and his arms were going in the correct way. Whether you worked or not, I don't know. And then you were taught on the rifle.
That was the rifle drill?
Rifle drill, yeah.
Was it your marching drill, was it light infantry pace from the very beginning?
All the time.
They didn't build you up to it?
All the time.
You must have found that pretty hard on your feet.
Yeah. All the time, yes. Oh, yes. The pace, I think, was more or less, that was the killer. Once you mastered the pace, you can master the drill. You can do anything you want. After you've mastered that 180 to the minute or 160, whichever they took you, you could master the movements. But it was just that. You had no time to think at 180 a minute. You just had to think what she said and do it.